Or, I should say, were we going to fight? Or were we going to accommodate ourselves to this age? And I think that the answer to that has always been nebulous. I mean, on one level, the church has always stood firm on issues like, take for instance, contraception, a huge revolution in society in the 60s, the most devastating social force imaginable. And statements that you get from authoritative sources in the church, really very good in upholding traditional teaching, but on the ground, in the parish, at the level of high school religion classes, something entirely different was happening. We weren't fighting the fight. The way we worshiped changed, at least for most Catholics. You can no longer say that you know what is going on in a parish church a couple of towns over on Sunday morning. I mean, I'm sure many of you have the same feeling I have. We're looking for a place to spend summer vacation, and one of the things that you worry about is going to a church you don't know anything about, and who knows what's going to happen. We're not worshiping the same way. We're not praying the same way. We're not thinking the same way. The teachings that were commonly taught, promulgated, understood, and enforced in a previous generation are no longer. I mean, we have cafeteria Catholics. It's accepted. And so there isn't that solidarity. And so you have this odd situation. Why did we accommodate ourselves into society? So that it would be more comfortable, so that we'd have more power, so that we'd be able to make more deals, so that we would be viewed with this respect that would give us status. And now look what it's wrought us. We're moving out of the chancery, we're moving out of the parishes, we're moving down to the South Shore, and the legislators scorn any Catholic influence. And by the way, when I talked about that vote the other day on the 1913 law, you know, most of the members of the Senate, most of those people who voted unanimously, most of them are Catholic. Every member of the Knights of Columbus in the state Senate voted for that. Every member of the Hibernians voted for it. We can no longer count on any sort of institutional Catholic support. Okay, I'm at the end of the really grim part of my talk, so if you want to take a break, this is not gin. You folks are the one who need it. Okay, is my book unrelievedly depressing? That's the question that I want to address now. And some people have said that they have found it trying. I hope that's not the case for a couple of reasons. First, I hope that if you read the book, you will find that it has the effect that one good friend reported. She said she found it cathartic. I mean, the story I'm telling is a sad story, but you already know the sad part of the story. And maybe in the telling, you understand it a little better. And maybe in the understanding, you can cope with it a little better. Second, I try to put this whole thing in perspective and tell where we went off the rails. And if we know where we went off the rails, at least we're that far advanced in our ability to get back on. I begin the story by talking about how Catholics arrived in Boston as an oppressed minority, scorned by the establishment, without power, without influence, without money. And about a century after the serious immigration of the Irish and then the Italians, and particularly the Irish, because this is so much a story of Irish Catholics, about a century after the immigration, the flow really started picking up, the Irish had taken control of the political system. You wait another 30, 40 years, and we've taken control of the financial system.